cable news bad for our health? One fitness chain seems to think so. Minnesota-based Lifetime Fitness recently announced it would stop showing cable news on their gym's communal televisions, saying in a statement that cable news consumption is not part of a, quote, healthy way of life. That means Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC will no longer appear on the club's big screen TVs, though the channels will still be viewable on smaller screens installed in some of the equipment. There's been a lot of reaction for and against the idea, but what about the basic concept? Can news consumption be bad for our well-being? Mary McNaughton Castle is a professor of psychology at the University of Texas at San Antonio. She's the author of Mind the Gap, Coping with Stress in the Modern World. Her research focuses on the psychological effects of media consumption. Mary, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, what do you think of this idea? A gym saying, hey, we're all about health and well-being, and cable news, not part of that in our gym.
I actually support the choice. I think the problem in gyms and public settings is that there are such differences in cable news channels that one of the problems is that people may be exposed to a channel that is not of their choice. But the other thing is that we are already inundated with information, and there need to be some times in our lives when we're exercising or doing other things where we're not just being bombarded.
What do we know about the connection between news consumption and stress?
The research that I've done and a lot of other people have done doesn't suggest that watching the news per se will make you clinically depressed or clinically anxious, but it will exacerbate how you feel already. So if you are depressed or anxious, it can make it worse. And in fact, sometimes depressed and anxious people sort of find themselves watching the news because they're not doing other things. And then the other piece of it is it kind of can contribute to a bit of a malaise, sort of a general feeling that things are just not good and not getting better and never going to improve. And I think that is actually one of the most common things that people tell me about watching the news.
Is there something about how accessible news is now? We could, there are 24-hour news channels. We could literally watch every minute of the day. Twitter, we could scroll down infinitely. A lot of news sites the same way. We can get all the news we can get our hands on.
Absolutely. I mean, you can go back in history to times when battles were fought after a war had ended because the news couldn't travel fast enough to tell people. And now, not only can we get 24-hour coverage, but there really isn't enough information, so a lot of that coverage is recycled over and over, and that plays into some of the things our brain does. You know, the more often we hear something, the more likely we are later to remember it and to think it's true, even if it's not. And part of what the news channels have to do to compete is be sensational and grab our attention, and so they tend to go with things that are negative or disturbing because they know we'll look at them. And they don't tend to spend as much time on the follow-up or how it got resolved or whether something turned out all right in the end.
So we get the bad, but not necessarily how it ended, maybe the good that might have come out of it later.
Absolutely. And when you think about it in your own life, you know about the bad things in your community or your kid's school or your job, but you also see the people who are doing good things and the solutions and the issues that get resolved. And the problem with a news diet is that we never see that backside. It's a very one-dimensional picture of how things are going.
Talking to Mary McNaughton Castle from the University of Texas at San Antonio. She's a psychology professor. We're looking at the impacts of news consumption, too much news consumption, on our stress levels after a gym chain, a fitness chain, banned news channels from their workout rooms. I want to go to a caller. We've got Tom on the line with us in Columbus. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon, both. I was in a position as a semi-driver, local, so I was home every night, but I was doing 12 to 14-hour days and listening to the radio quite a bit in between stops. And there, I have since changed careers, and you know, I spend way less time behind the wheel, way less time consuming that audio news off of whichever channel I happen to be on at the time, XM, terrestrial, what have you. I can tell personally my stress level has fallen considerably. Hmm. And again, I agree that so much, a lot of the stories are somewhat shallow, but there is so much information out there. And, you know, you can go to proverbial the church that you agree with. You can listen to the crowd that, you know, makes you mad so you listen longer. You can, it's mind-boggling. And it really, I've gone to just taking my news from NPR and PBS and a few offshore sites, and I find my stress level has dropped considerably, and I'm no less informed than I was before.
Tom, thanks a lot for that call. And Mary, let's talk about what Tom did and what you recommend people do if they are feeling like they're having news stress. How can we manage our news consumption better?
I love his story because he illustrates the point that you can take control of your exposure. In his case, his job might have changed, but one of the things I tell my students all the time is that we're not going to go back in time to an era when we weren't surrounded by news, so we have to take personal responsibility for titrating what we hear and see. And part of that's understanding what's upsetting to you. In my case, I don't like visuals. And on TV, by the time you see something really graphic, it's too late. So like your caller, I try to get most of my news from the radio or even from the internet where I can control it. And I think people vary, but we need to be thinking about that consciously and making choices instead of just kind of going with tide and letting the news wash over us all the time.
Do you have thoughts on how, say, a TV news network might be able to help people out to still do their job and in theory get viewers, but to make it less stressful?
Yeah, that is a tough question. Part of it is not the news producer's fault, because the economics of competing for viewers in a 24-hour world with reality shows and everything else means that you do have to have hooks. There's a group of journalists. It's a website called Solutions Journalism, and I think they are doing some really good work about advocating for just more follow-up. So if there's a problem, follow up later and show what worked, what didn't. Give people a sense that not everything that looks like a disaster is necessarily going to turn out in the worst possible way.
And I wanted to talk about that, the disaster or tragedy, like a really big one. I've had the same experience I assume a lot of people have, where you feel obliged to keep looking for the latest news on a newspaper website, Twitter, TV, whatever. How do we cut ourselves off from that when it's clearly not going to help us and we're not helping anybody by following that?
Well, that's the trick right there. You know, in the past, when disasters happened, you were either living through them and it was horrible for you, but there were things you could do in the real world, or you didn't know about them. There have always been earthquakes and disasters and tragedies, but people didn't know about everyone happening all over the world. So you do need to set yourself a schedule. You can check in on the news or have set feeds or however you look at it, but you don't have to keep it constantly going on in the background. But I think what's even more important is to find a way to feel a sense of control. So if you see a disaster that affects you, you may not be able to go to Puerto Rico or wherever the people are suffering, but maybe you could make a donation or you could do something to help people in your community. The idea is to take some control and make a difference, because that's what makes us feel less helpless or hopeless or overwhelmed.
And I want to ask you, Mary, on a personal level, you study this, you've written about it, clearly you know what's going on here, but do you still find yourself sometimes breaking your rules and getting sucked back into watching too much news?
I do. It's hard not to, and it creeps into your Facebook and everything else. But what I try very hard to do is find ways to feel like I'm part of the solution and not just the problem. In my case, I do disaster mental health work, so I'm actually going down to Puerto Rico next week with a group. And that doesn't mean we're going to help everyone or it fixes the next disaster, but it helps me to feel that I'm doing something to improve the overall picture.
Mary, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And best of luck with your work in Puerto Rico.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Mary McNaughton Castle, professor of psychology at the University of Texas at San Antonio. She's the author of Mind the Gap, Coping with Stress in the Modern World. She joined us to talk about the relationship between news consumption, stress, and mental health after a chain of fitness centers announced they're not going to show cable news in their facilities anymore.